Movies On Up, our favorite movies starring animals. Together, my co-host Dave and I form the oddest couple ever unleashed. That is our tagline for this week, the oddest couple ever unleashed. If you know what movie that came from, and here's a hint, it does star an animal. If you know what movie that is, we'll send you a prize package. Now, how can you send in your guess? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad I asked rhetorically. Any of the following ways, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send us an email. You can leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. You could leave your guess on our Twitter page, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or somewhere on our website, moviesonup.com. We get a bunch of comments over there. Most of them are spam. So if you can wade through that mess, if you've got the correct guess, and if we pick you, you'll win a prize package, which I'm sure you will be more than thankful to receive. I am thankful to be joined by my co-host, Dave, the Turner to my hooch.
Roar.
Is that the sound a doggy makes?
Yes.
It's the sound a Cujo doggy makes. Cujo, not on this list. We did a list a while ago about killer animals. Now, you might be asking yourself, why on earth are we doing another episode about a month later about animals? And I'll tell you why. Because it is Thanksgiving this month. Actually, very late this month in November. So we thought we might give a little early flavor of Thanksgiving this week. The turkey, of course, is the star of Thanksgiving. And later on this week, we'll have movies that are sort of centered around family get-togethers. That list is, I have a feeling that'll be an interesting episode because I know I really didn't follow the rules, if there were any.
Yeah, and speaking of, I don't know what the rules were on here. Is it just, did it have to be a real animal?
No.
Did it have to be live action?
No.
Okay, I think I'm good then.
Our killer animals, we kind of did want those to be real animals because that could have been a monster. But no, we kind of stuck with piranha and grizzly bears. Did you have grizzly on your list? I think you did.
I think it was an honorable mention.
I think I always assumed that you did. But with this one, I think I just kind of stayed away from any kind of horror movie, and it was basically just any of the good, and there are quite a few. This was, of the list that we've done recently, I had a pretty easy time doing this. How about you?
Yeah, I mean,
once you figured out what the rules were?
I didn't really know what the rules were, so I have a bunch of honorable mentions that I could throw in case I was wrong. But yeah, for the most part, a lot of them came to mind. And I mean, I have five in my top five and then five honorable mentions. I like all 10 of them. So it's not like, oh, I just want to mention this one. Like, I enjoy all the movies. So yeah, some of them are pretty obvious. But I think overall, like, I really like these movies.
It's the first list that I feel like I've done in a while where I really do like all of the movies. Sometimes I feel like if we do something very specific, I don't know, like movies based around a family get-together, you might have to put movies on there just because, well, I really need to come up with a fifth one.
Let's just hope we never do a favorite Vince Vaughn movies episode.
Yeah, that would be pretty awful. Let's get right into it with your fifth favorite movie starring an animal.
It's kind of a co-star. It's kind of a buddy film. In a way, it is 1987's Project X, starring Matthew Broderick and a monkey and Helen Hunt. So
not
just
a monkey.
Yeah. So he just has to look after this chimpanzee, and then he sees what they're doing to these chimpanzees and doesn't want to let them do that to the chimpanzees anymore. I really liked this movie as a child. It hit when I was about 9 years old. I really liked it. Matthew Broderick in that era, I really liked. And this was a fun movie. Not fun movie. Like, it gets pretty rough at times, but I really liked it. And for some reason, this and War Games and Cloak and Dagger all get lumped into me in the same mind. But I like all three of them, and this is the only one with a chimpanzee.
And Cloak and Dagger, the only one that doesn't star Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that one gets lumped in there.
I think that gets lumped in with War Games.
Okay,
and then
I can
see that. War Games gets lumped in with Project X, so they just all come together.
And two of those have computer simulations. One of them has a monkey.
And two of them have Matthew Broderick.
Right.
So it's like a Zen diagram, like the
Venn diagram?
Yes.
It's Venn diagram. Circles.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. So. Off to a flying start. My number five is really the only movie on this list that I would absolutely not want to watch with a child. I don't think it's necessarily appropriate. The other ones are, it's a family-friendly list. But this one from 1975, directed by L.Q. Jones, A Boy and His Dog, starring Don Johnson, Tim McIntyre, Suzanne Benton, and Jason Robards. I kind of think that a post-apocalyptic setting is perfect for the relationship between a man and an animal. In this particular movie, World War IV has virtually wiped out the human population, except for a band or some random banditos, mutants, whatever, androids, I think. And of course, Vic, played by Don Johnson, who travels the countryside with his dog, Blood, who communicates with him telepathically.
Telepathically.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty weird. Now, Don Johnson uses the dog to sniff out women for him to rape. And in return, Don Johnson feeds the dog. They have, I don't want to call it like a symbiotic relationship, but they have a very strange relationship. Through the entire movie, yeah, it's about survival. Yeah, it's about a lot of things. But it is, at the heart of it, about the relationship.
A boy and his dog.
Yes, between the boy and his dog. When you said, I get War Games confused with Cloak and Dagger and Project X, this movie, if you want to think of a newer movie that's maybe a little bit like it, I think that I Am Legend kind of comes to mind with Will Smith and his dog.
Minus the rape and eating.
Yes. But I think that the relationship that he has with that dog, you care about Will Smith's dog as much as you care about Blood. At one point in A Boy and His Dog, Suzanne Benton's character asks Don Johnson, you know, what does he know about love? And he says, you know, love is a boy and his dog. And then he proves it.
Yeah, this one skipped my mind. I didn't even think about this one. This one, I believe, made my list. I think it was my number one post-apocalyptic movie. And I think it made my list of movies I want to see remade. Because it's a jacked up movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a jacked up movie. Way ahead of its time. Like, watch this movie. Like, it's the ending is... Ooh, it's an ending.
Very dated. You don't see it coming.
No.
You're prepared to cry.
It's a good movie, and I'm kind of shocked I overlooked this one because I do love this movie. I legitimately love this movie. As much as it makes me feel dirty to say that, I do love this movie.
Because it's about rape and
yeah, and
other things.
Yeah. My number four, a little more lighthearted than A Boy and His Dog from 1995, about a little adorable pig that wants to herd sheep. It is Babe. Directed by Chris Noonan, starring James Cromwell was the human, and then Babe, the pig, voiced by Christine Cavanaugh. A legitimate movie. It's a legit good movie. Not
nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, not the kind of movie that I'm generally into. Not usually in my wheelhouse, but really good for this kind of movie. It's just really well put together. It's not... Yeah, it's made for families, but there's enough there to keep you into it. And it was nominated for Best Picture because it's a legitimate... It's not Milo and Otis. It's not Homeward Bound. Like, this is a legitimate movie. There's a lot to it. I hope I just named your number one and number two.
No, you didn't.
But it's just a really good movie. And it was... You know what I'm talking about for a reason. Like, a random movie from 1995 about a pig that wants to be a sheep herder. That has every reason to be buried in... obscurity, but everybody knows about this pig, so
I hope so. I love it, and this is one that I purposely left off my list because it was real high on some other list I did, or I don't know why, but I do remember going on about Babe quite a while ago, and that was absolutely the first movie that came to mind, and it would have been my number one hands down, but I left it off, so I'm glad you put it on there. That makes me feel good. My number four is one of those movies that when you said, does it have to star a real animal? And I said, no. And then you followed up with, does it have to be live action? And I said, no. That's good, because this is a cartoon about a dragon from 2010. How to Train Your Dragon, starring Jay Baruchel, Gerard Butler, Craig Ferguson, America Ferrera, Jonah Hill, McLovin, TJ Miller, Kristen Wiig, David Tennant. You get the picture. There's a lot of people, a hell of a voice cast in this movie, and it is a sneaky movie. The idea of just a misfit Viking who becomes friends with a disabled dragon to help the bridge the gap between two warring sides, yeah, whatever. Not entirely an original concept, but it's the execution in this movie that is fantastic. The thing that I will take away the most from this movie was the way it used 3D technology. My co-host Dave absolutely hates 3D, and you know, for the most part, he's not wrong in his assessment of it. But based on the reviews from when this movie came out, I took a chance and went to see it in IMAX 3D. Really didn't care so much about the movie itself. I just heard that the 3D was really good, and I just wanted to see a good application of the technology. And I was absolutely blown away. In a couple parts, I think I kind of had motion sickness. There's, you know, this idea of if you're going to make a 3D movie that you just need to have debris and things flying at your face. No, that's not what 3D is for. 3D is to make what you see on the screen an immersive experience. And that's absolutely what they were able to do here. It felt like half movie, half thrill ride. When Jay Baruchel's actually flying around on the dragon, it is really, really good. I don't know. I haven't gone back and watched it again in, you know, 2D, so I don't know if I would like it as much as I did seeing it in IMAX, but it left a hell of an impression on me.
We'll just go on to my number three, because this is what made me ask the questions, does it have to be a real animal, and can it be animated? Because my number three is How to Train Your Dragon. I did not see it in theaters. I heard the 3D was great. I'm not a 3D guy. I don't care. That's not going to sell me on a movie. I wasn't sold on the animation. I did not like the look of the characters, did not like the look of the dragons. So I kind of let this one pass me by until within the last year, I checked it out and immediately regretted not watching it sooner. This is a good movie. The characters are well done. Baruchel and the relationship with the dragon. It's the most attractive I've ever been to America Ferrera. I didn't like because I'm not a fan of her. But just everything about this movie is good. Like it does tug at heartstrings. It's very emotional. You care. It's just a well put together animated movie. Like this is a great movie that my kids loved and I absolutely adored. So yes, I'll watch this a million times. I don't care. And I'm not going to let the second one pass me by like I did this one because I am 100% on board.
Are you going to go see the second one in 3D?
I doubt it.
I think you should.
Those kids.
After hearing me go off on it for like 5 or 10 minutes about how well executed the 3D was, you're gonna not do it.
Maybe. If I can get a sitter for the kids, I'll go see it by myself in 3D.
God, you're such a terrible father. I guess we're on number three.
That was my number three.
That was your number three, so my number three. A movie that I'm assuming your kids have seen. I feel like when I was in the fourth grade or thereabouts, about everyone I knew had seen the movie. A lot of people might just have it on their top five movies of all time. It's The Lion King from 1994, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Matthew Broderick, that guy from War Games, and
Project
Cloak
X.
And Dagger, Jeremy Irons, James Earl Jones. I was not really into the whole Disney thing as a kid. I preferred John Carpenter to Walt Disney, but maybe that's just me being a little weirdo. But my sister, however, that is quite a different story. If I had a gun to my head, I may be able to sing all the songs from The Little Mermaid and from Aladdin and The Lion King. By 94, I think she had probably worn out the other two VHSs, so I was just glad that there was something else in the house for her to watch all day, every day. This actually had a bit more of a story behind it. It wasn't just kind of the weird, two different aspect. We're from different worlds. We can't really be together. I think, you know, about growing up and kicking Scar's ass. Like, that was a large portion of what The Lion King was about. And I don't think, since maybe Bambi's mom or, spoiler alert, Old Yeller getting capped, I hadn't been that sad watching a Disney movie as I was when Darth Vader gets trampled.
I didn't grow up on Disney movies, but I grew up in a town that the movie theater only played two movies at a time, and when they did well, they stuck around. So this Lion King stayed at our theater for a long time, and I was at that age where if you're trying to get a hand job at a movie theater, you only have two movies to choose from. And one of them for weeks was The Lion King. So I did happen to see this a few times in the theater.
You kept trying.
I'm not a Disney movie guy. Like, this is one of the better ones, I guess. I have some good memories of this movie.
I'm sure you do.
But, I mean, it's good. I saw I kind of came up with my list and then did some research to make sure I didn't miss anything. And this popped up on every one of them, which makes sense. I mean, it was just re-released a couple years ago when it dominated the box office, and it's been 20 years. So
re-released in 3D.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, people love this movie, and I understand. I mean, the circle of life, the symbolic thing of the holding the baby up, like those are things that everybody knows. So this, it's a good movie.
And things that people like do. If you run across a small dog or small child, you can't tell me that you've not done that. I've done that.
Yeah. So
I do that to people I just meet.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. My number two, a little different of a movie. It is 2011's Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I was on board for give Andy Serkis an Oscar nomination because, yeah, James Franco was the human star of this movie, but this was Caesar's movie. Andy Serkis did a phenomenal job, not just as the ape, but the facial expressions, for somebody who had minimal lines in the movie, like still conveyed a lot of emotion and still made you a care. This and District 9 really pop out as movies where you really care about a CGI character without having that you're caring about this thing. And he did so good with Caesar, and you see Caesar transition from man's best friend to man's worst enemy, and he pulls it off nicely. So, yeah, of course this starred an animal, and I thought it was done really well. And overall, it's a fantastic movie. The movie came out way better than it should have. So I couldn't leave it off this list because I really, really enjoy this movie, and I'm very excited for the sequel to it, the second Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It was my number one, but I'll just bump it down and make it my number two. Because really, I like my new number one. I like it an awful lot, too. Most of the points that I wanted to make, you hit. And starting off, the fact that Andy Serkis did not even get nominated for an Oscar really pisses me off. And I know that we did an episode a while ago where we kind of went over at least 8 or 9 instances where the Academy absolutely screwed the pooch, so to speak. And this one has got to be right up there. I understand that it's a motion capture performance.
Still a performance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's performance in a male in a supporting role or leading role. Like,
right.
It's performance.
Motion capture performance. Performance is still in there. And that's absolutely what that was. If you take what he was able to do in that movie, takes it from being a stupid idea to reboot a dead franchise into a really great movie. We saw what can happen when you reboot Planet of the Apes with Marky Mark and Helena Bonham Carter, and that was crap.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was god-awful. This, as a reboot, prequel, you know, whatever you want to call it, had heart, and it was 100% because of Andy Serkis. And in fairness, the work of the visual effects team. Now, they did get nominated for an Oscar, which they should have, but I don't feel like this movie would have been the same were it not for the contributions of both of those people. And I think for him not to get nominated was crap.
And I mean, he had very few lines, and I don't want to spoil too much, but his first line,
he played a chimpanzee.
Such an amazing moment. Like, and that was all done through his performance. Like, just the delivery of, it's hard to do one word line and make it perfect. And he did it. And it's just such a good movie, and it was a big hit. I mean, it came out of nowhere and kind of made a lot of money, and the sequel is going to blow. I mean, it's going to make a ton of money because it was so good, and even people that missed out on the theaters have caught up on it and realized, oh, this franchise is fantastic, and there's plenty of room to grow from here.
And, I mean, the human star of the first one, James Franco,
not even
really
involved in
the second one.
He doesn't need to be because it was Caesar's movie. Well, I mean, we've had this
discussion
we've
had
before,
that argument.
But it was Caesar's movie, and now you're going to get another movie about Caesar. So we don't need Franco. The cast they're putting together for it, fantastic. It's still got a great human cast. But
that, I guess that's the point, that, like, you know, this was Caesar's movie, and the next one will be as well. And it's because of what he was able to do in that mocap.
Yeah. Moving on to my number one, another one that used a lot of computers. I wouldn't be shocked if it was your number two and your new number one.
It might be.
This movie, it's rare for a movie that I can just watch 24 hours in a row, and I absolutely could watch Finding Nemo over and over and over again, because everything about this movie, I love Ellen. I mean, I'm a big sucker for Ellen anyway, and she's so good in this movie. The whole cast is good. The story's good. It's not just it is about the journey. Usually it's, you know, it's about the destination, well, but whatever, but it's,
I think you have that backwards. It's
no,
always about the journey.
It is about the journey, and they do good. Like, it keeps you going, and there's enough there. We talked about cameos in maybe a future episode, but this is just fun. Like, it's a bunch of little, like, oh, the turtle scene. Oh, the dentist scene. Like, yeah, it's not really cameos, but it's little, the glowing fish. Like, it's just really cool stuff that you know what all of those are, and you can watch it any time at any point in the movie and just be, you can miss the first hour of it and still just be engaged in it. It's such a, it just sucks you in, and it's such a good movie. And it starts off depressing. Like, it's depressing at the beginning. And it's just good because, yeah, they're not, you're not watching humans, but you're watching character growth, and you're watching character defects and overcoming ups. It really took animated movies to a whole new level, because this, I believe, was nominated for an Oscar as well for Best Picture, if I'm remembering correct, because it was phenomenal.
Probably. It's your number one. You ought to know.
I didn't research it. This was kind of my... I knew this was my number one. It would have been hard to not do animated movies, because this movie is perfect. I mean, it's one of those that I can't find faults in this movie.
I don't find fault in it. I don't have kids, so I was not forced to expose myself to it. So it's not my number one. But my number one does take place on the water, which we're doing an episode probably later about our favorite movies that take place on the water or under the water.
Eventually.
Yeah. And this is one that probably would have made that list, but instead I'll use it today because it does star animals. It is from last year, 2012, directed by Ang Lee. It was, in fact, nominated for an Oscar and did win a couple. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Starring Suraj Sharma, Irfan Khan, and Rafe Spall, Life of Pi. I was just talking about visually immersive experiences not too long ago with How to Train Your Dragon. Well, this is kind of another one. Pi spends most of the movie trapped on a raft with some zoo animals, which sounds like it could get kind of boring. But the animals were given such human characteristics that you absolutely do forget they're animals. You treat them like people. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. Depends. Depends on what you think of the movie. But the arc that Pi and the tiger, Richard Parker, have is incredibly compelling to watch. That, you know, they start out being very much adversarial. The tiger wants to eat him because they're stuck on a raft. There's nothing else for him to eat. But they need each other for different reasons. The Richard Parker needs Pi to help feed him and make sure that he stays alive, and Pi kind of needs the tiger so he's not completely nuts out in the middle of the ocean by his own damn self. And from the time that I don't even know what movie I was going to see, it may have been The Avengers, when I saw a 3D trailer for this movie, and I was absolutely blown away by it. It's very rare for me to see a trailer and say, damn it, that movie's going to win the Oscar for Best Cinematography. And spoiler alert, it did. Well, I do think that the 3D adds a lot to the movie. I think that if you just got yourself a Blu-ray copy and watched it on a nice TV right at the crib, would do nicely. Beautiful imagery. By not only Ang Lee, but the DP, Claudio Miranda. I think that might be the first time I've ever actually name-dropped a director of photography on the podcast. And if it is, I don't know that there's one that's any more deserving than Miranda for what he did with Life of Pi. Really beautiful. Even if you watch it with screaming kids all over the place and you have no idea what's being said, you can really watch it, and it works. Stunning. Great movie. My number one.
I still haven't seen it yet. I've had
many
opportunities.
Don't bother.
I just haven't. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah, whatever.
But some of my also-rans, I could have made this all animated movies because I really enjoy Over the Hedge. It's very funny with Bruce Willis. great cast on that. Just these forest animals going over the hedge. It's very, very funny.
Steal a bunch of junk food.
Yeah, it's so good.
To give a bear.
And I do love Bolt, the Miley Cyrus, John Travolta joint. It's a fun movie, and it stars Bolt. Another one would have made it, but we leave off the obvious ones. It didn't make our killer animal ones either. Jaws, Congo, terrible movie, but for some reason I love to bring it up any chance I can get. And then another movie starring a luck dragon, 1984's The Neverending Story.
Sure. Yeah, that one slipped my mind. And I feel like The Horse, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Horse.
I haven't watched that movie in so long.
Yeah, there was a horse in there, and it, let's just say, did not make it to the end. I guess I really didn't have a bunch of also-rans because I had five that came to my mind, like, really quickly. I didn't have to do hardly any research for this at all. And the only research I think I did was, I wonder what year A Boy and His Dog came out. Because that was an answer I did not have.
79,
off the top of my
isn't
head. It was 1975.
75.
Yeah. I would have been pretty impressed if you had it off the top of your head. But if we did manage to miss your movie, and there are so many movies starring animals out there, if you are a big fan of Andre and you want to tell us about it, we'd love to hear from you. Moviesonup@gmail.com. Send us an email. You can get at us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or send us some tweets @moviesonup on the Twitter. Those are the ways you can get a hold of us. Before we leave you today, as we like to do, we'll give you some bonus watch this-is, and we're going to do a movie featuring a cast member from We Bought a Zoo. I'm assuming when you buy a zoo, there's some animals in that. So, Dave, give us a movie starring one of the cast members from We Bought a Zoo.
I'm going to go a little, avoid Patrick Fugit, Scarlett Johansson, any of the obvious ones. I'm going to go with Maggie Elizabeth Jones, the little tiny girl, mostly because I want to talk about Ben and Kate, the TV show that she was on that got canceled unfairly after a handful of episodes. It was so good, but she also showed up in Identity Thief, which, not a good movie, but I enjoy Bateman and I enjoy Melissa McCarthy, so it had a few laughs in it. But watch this girl, because she's only seven, but her comedic timing is phenomenal, and she's so good at being an awesome little seven-year-old girl. So keep an eye on her, not in a creepy way, but just her career, because she's going to do some awesome things, and I just wanted to shout out Ben and Kate.
I am going to pick a movie because it has absolutely nothing to do with a TV show, but it does have a lot to do with a movie making a movie. It stars Elle Fanning. It is Super 8. I absolutely love this movie. It is J.J. Abrams' open love letter to Steven Spielberg. And you can absolutely tell. Elle Fanning, A.J., Michaela, Kyle Chandler, a bunch of young actors in this movie. And they absolutely do carry the movie. It's really, really good. It's about, you know, these group of kids. They're trying to make a horror movie, and they end up sort of, through no fault of their own, videotaping an alien invasion. And that kind of changes the kind of movie. I think actually they were trying to make a zombie movie, but I don't remember offhand. On the one hand, it's super cute because it is about the relationships that you have as a group of friends that just finally get your hands on a camera and you try and make a movie. Or maybe that's just the relationship that I had with my nerdy friends because I liked movies and I made them, or at least I made them agree to make horror movies in the backyard. And this absolutely felt like that. And it, again, coming from a guy like J.J. Abrams, who probably did make these same kind of Super 8 movies when he was a kid, it was something that he was very passionate about. And I think the movie came out really, really well. I know you don't like it, but
I wanted to like it more. I guess I don't dislike it. I wanted to like it more. She's really good in it, though. Elle Fanning is fantastic in it. I just, overall,
fair enough. That's going to wrap it up for our favorite movies starring animals. Stick around for more Thanksgiving flavor this week as we hit you up with our favorite movies featuring family get-togethers.
That should be a fun one.
Kind of. If for no other reason, come back just to see what the hell a movie featuring a family get-together is, because I think Dave and I are going to have to hash that out here before we even get that started. But that'll be up later on in the week. Until then,
keep it up.